Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
I never was captain of the football team. You ain't never been a prom queen. We're just us, and that's okay. If I got you, well, it's a good day.
Here we go, 33 after the hour. Happy to have along with Jennifer Horn on the Good Day program. Rich McFadden is at the controls in our studio in Washington, and also our visit from Dr. Joy Brown, who's here, one of the most excellent radio people I have ever encountered, and I've encountered most of them. Are you in the Radio Hall of Fame yet?
No.
How come you and I are not in the Radio Hall of Fame?
Isn't that funny?
Is it all politics? I think it's all politics.
I think there is certainly a certain amount of it, because there are people in that that not only have I never heard of, but no one's ever heard of.
Right, exactly.
But that's okay. Listen, we do it for the sheer pleasure. We do it for love. We do it for love.
Yes. Dr. Joy, her weekday program is from noon until 3 every day. You can listen online. Just find out where or how by going to drjoy.com. And if you'd like to question. For example, we're going to talk about how to get along with people that you don't like. And that's a great question. I have a mother-in-law I don't like, Dr. Joy. What shall I do? You
can
call that kind of question into 855-99-DR-JOY, and she will answer that question on the air. All right. So let's get to how we deal with people that we don't like. You have to work with people sometimes you don't like. And as a matter of fact, sometimes if you don't get along with people at work, it's a roadblock to career advancement, personal relationships, just people in general. And maybe you start with an example of what happened in your life, because there got to be people in your life, although rare, that you don't like and they don't like you. So what have you done about it?
Well, first of all, I think we need to separate out different areas of our life. At work, work isn't about friendship, in spite of MASH. I mean, that program probably did more for the misunderstanding of the workplace than any single entity on the planet, because the idea was that you could get all your goodies in one place. You'd get your love life, your friends, your mentors, your
well,
work
your service,
in one place.
In service, that has happened, hasn't it, over the years?
But even the service tries to convince people not to fraternize.
Right.
So I mean, but
unsuccessfully.
But the idea being, and presumably it doesn't occur on the same level, or maybe it does, having never been in the service. And the closest I became was a Girl Scout.
Yep.
But the idea being that work is about competence. So what you need to do if you figure out that you don't like somebody is figure out why you don't like them. Did they have bad breath, or do they seem more competent than you? Do they talk too much? Do they do too little? Whatever. But see if you can't also figure out something positive about them. Because if you go to your boss, as Doug pointed out, you're really not going to be viewed much as a team player. And bosses really don't want to deal with the personal stuff unless they have to.
Is that true? How do you deal with personnel issues at the Radio Ranch there?
He fires their butt.
I will say that I have done that. If I have somebody here, and I learned this a long time ago, that's a cancer, and walking around and just bad-mouthing everything and everybody.
You have to dump it.
Yeah. Boom, gone. Yeah. I got rid of them, and everybody kind of works together. And every now and then, I've got the couch open in my office to deal with personal situations at the workplace, because it's going to come up.
It does. And so I think that understand that what and the before you go to Richie, what you do is you go to the person and say, listen, if I've done something to offend you, can you tell me what it is? Because, you know, I would really like for us to work together better. And you can't go to somebody and say, everybody hates you, so let's talk about this. I mean, that's not viable. In our personal life, again, and the mother-in-law is not a bad example, because there seems to be this kind of inherent societal kind of prejudice. But what you need to do about your mother-in-law is remember that she's the one who raised the man that you love, or the woman that you love. So basically, I'm one of those people who thinks that confrontation is one of those words that is overused, and basically what you're doing is littering the roadside with body parts. So if there's a way not to confront somebody, which doesn't mean you have to be a doormat, but saying if you could figure out what you like about somebody, because it's quite often that we telescope and telegraph our attitude. If I don't like you, I'm going to act like I don't like you, and most of us get defensive when we feel someone doesn't like us, and so we may be more obnoxious than we have to be.
All right. So what happens in this day and age when people use social media to work over somebody that they don't like? That's a yeah. new dimension, an
yeah,
added
cyberbullying. Yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, see, I'm one of those people who thinks that the internet as it is will not exist in the same way. And that's already happened. I said it 5 years ago, and it's already happened. And it's going to happen more so. It's just that because I think the internet is gives people permission to be both, in some ways,
cowards.
Anonymous.
It gives people,
and mean.
It gives people permission
mean.
To be mean and cowardly.
And negative.
Yep.
If you, I mean, it's extraordinary that people face-to-face who would not say these kinds of things. And there have been all these studies that show when you're sitting in front of a computer screen, your inhibitions are lowered. And what we see in the internet is there's more sex and there's more just vituperative nasty. There's nastiness. And I think it's too bad. What I would say about cyberbullying is get off the internet. Get in. There is life beyond the internet. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are just too... You know, sort of too, and I don't want to use the word addicted because it's a misuse of the word, but too dependent on, you know, instead of friends. I've seen mothers with brand new babies walking down the street talking on their cell phone. And in the old days, you would have been talking to the baby. And I worry about what happens to future generations where people aren't read stories. There was actually a study that came out yesterday that said kids under the age of 2 that are exposed to any kind of screen, computer screen, TV screen, are much more prone to obesity.
Well, not only that, they are prone to have all kinds of disorders because the neurological connections in your brain are not mature until you're almost 3. So you sit in front of a television screen, a computer screen, you watch all those images, what it does is make you an instant candidate for ADHD or any of the other things that make it almost unfeasible for you to be able to learn in the normal way. It is certain trauma. You are prescribing your child to a tough childhood.
Well, you're certainly making it more difficult.
Very difficult.
I don't think we necessarily doom people to failure, but we certainly are not encouraging the kind of connections that we know for years work really well in stimulating kids' brain, which is the human voice and human interaction and eye contact.
All right,
and there's
so
no eye contact with a TV.
No, but let's go back a little bit to the boss employee relationship to others that are similar to that. Let's say this person is a bully. You use that term. Do you fight back or not? How do you show? Because a lot of times people are hurt and they show their emotions. When people hurt my feelings, I get emotional about it. There are people who have said to me, don't show your emotions. Don't respond. Just keep moving.
I think it really depends a little bit on the context. But basically, a bully, by definition, is a coward. A bully is somebody who says, I can't make you like me, so I'll make you afraid of me. And so sometimes, believe it or not, the best way to deal with a bully is not to either ignore them, because they'll just up the ante, but to just smother them with kindness of, gee, that's so... You know, my favorite thing is stupid and cheerful. If you say, gee, Joy, you're getting fat, I say, oh, Doug, you have such a great sense of humor. And so, Joy, nobody likes you. You know, I just love how you look at the world. There's really no response to that, as opposed to if I just ignore you. I mean, you may go away, but you may also escalate. So when in doubt, try, and I think it also gives your stomach acid a place to go, of just laughing hilariously. That you have such a great sense of humor. You know, I've always loved your sense of humor. Mm. How can you respond to that? There's no way of bullying that particular comment.
No. All right. So there... You know, what's the old expression? A word to the wise is sufficient. But this is a common, everyday problem that people have. And how often do you hear somebody say, oh, I hate him? That's a horrible thing.
Yeah, you've always hated the word hate.
I think the word hate is so incredibly destructive in so many ways.
Where did that come from? Because, I mean, I think you're right. People use it. Where did it come from in your life?
Why do I think that I don't like the word hate?
Yeah, but
because I think it brings up into your.
I know why you don't like it, but where did that come from? Because it's such a common word, and people use it.
Oh, where did the word hate come from?
Look at the shrink.
No, where did it come from in your life?
Where did you want to?
Who told you that they hated you? Is what she's asking.
Lay
someone must
couch,
have.
Doug. Let's dig deeper into
when
this.
When I was a kid, a lot
let's
of
find
people,
out where your hatred.
I didn't
hate came
say
from.
That they. Hated me, but they didn't like me, made fun of my name, made fun of the fact that I had cows, made fun of the fact that I rode my bicycle.
Why is riding your bike so bad?
In my neighborhood, they didn't ride bikes. They had their parents take them places.
Dougie.
There were not many. First of all, in the neighborhood that I grew up in, there were very few people my own age because it was more rural. certainly suburban rural, and there were one, two, three people on the entire street that I knew who were my age. They all went to private school. I didn't. And
did you ever hear somebody say, "I just hate you," or "I hate him"?
Yes, my former wife.
Yeah, but presumably it was before that.
That doesn't count, though, right?
Do you hate the word hate?
Before she married me, you mean, or what?
No, I just think that because I know you have a huge response to that word, and I just wonder where it came from. Because, I mean, most people, nobody wants to like them hated. Well,
no, somebody used it on me. That was very close to me.
Somebody used it.
Yeah. Right. All right. So,
hey, on an up note, though, Doug.
What's that, Richie?
I'd like to congratulate Joy Brown for being the winner of today's Doug Steffen Word of the Day contest when she used the word vituperative.
That's a great word.
Yes, vituperative. Yeah.
Vituperative.
It means uttering or given to censure, containing or characterized by verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Joe Brown. You've just won a Cedar Side snack pack.
Well, I think that what happens, though,
Do I really get something for this?
Yeah, you do.
I
love this. Earlier in the morning, we all said what word of the day.
Wait a minute.
We said
vituperative. I guess I'm done with this conversation.
No, I'm interested.
You've piqued my interest because I have not, until you asked me that question, I actually never thought about it before. Who was it that told me that they hated me?
Yeah, because that kind of response usually happens early on in our life, mm-hmm. and it's because it's out of proportion. Look, what I do as a therapist, I really can't read minds in spite of what people think, but what I can do is hear reactions, and I can hear when something seems out of proportion, and because I know that's one of the words that really will set you off.
All right.
And so my question is, where did it come from? Okay.
In the eighth grade, Gail Sheehy was somebody that I was very fond of. Her real boyfriend was Eddie Davis. Eddie Davis and she were having a problem, so she used me to make him jealous. Mm. And then she told me when it was all done that she actually hated me.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it. Mm. And my guess is there was probably something before that as well, so this resonated with it.
When you grew up, realize that Gail Sheehy was a bimbo that used you and she wasn't worth the time of day, right?
No, in the eighth grade, I could only see Gail Sheehy as my girlfriend. That was it.
Being magnificent, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And she probably had breasts.
Grew up.
No, they were, well.
Well, but no, see, we get stuck. We get stuck in those things. We really do.
Actually, maybe this is more telling than anything else. When I was in the seventh grade, Karen Spencer sat in front of me. We had the old desks.
I love how he uses full names.
And, who's going to know? She's not listening. She married Bruce Lovelace. They were boyfriend and girlfriend all through junior high and high school.
Yep. They have a Lovelace marriage.
And I saw them at the 50th anniversary or 50th class reunion. One of the few people that I actually wanted to talk to recently. Anyway, back to Karen. Was in the chair in front. I was in the second row in Miss Welch's, Doris Welch's, the English teacher in the seventh grade, and Karen sat in front of me, and she was developing.
Breasts, I told you.
She always wore blouses that buttoned down the back. And one day, I unbuttoned her blouse, and she didn't know I was unbuttoning it, and put it around the chair, and then buttoned it back up again.
Doug, that's mean.
It really wasn't. It was, well, it was
that was mean.
It was mean.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was,
that's pretty mean. She's probably, just like you have Gail Sheehy problems, she probably has Dudley Steffen problems.
Yeah. Really?
She's probably on her radio show right now going, "I remember in the second grade when Dudley Steffen."
This is true, though. I was just going to say, when I was in kindergarten, I had a teacher tell me that I was helpless because I couldn't find something in her desk. And from that moment on, I mean, think about helpless people and you will not see me on the list ever because you overcompensate. Yeah.
Very self-sufficient.
I know. I'll never be called that again. Anyway, sorry, Joy. Go ahead.
No, I'm just, my sister had an imaginary friend when she was in second grade called Cynthia Bardsley. And whenever something went wrong, Cynthia Bardsley did it. And I gave a speech in York, Pennsylvania about 10 years ago. And somebody asked a question from the audience about imaginary friend. And I said something about Cynthia Bardsley. This woman comes up afterwards and says, "I'm Cynthia Bardsley."
Really?
Yeah, there was a real Cynthia Barnsley. Which
and I went to school with the Cynthia Barnsley.
Dr. Joy Brown, 855-99 Dr. Joy for her radio program. Ask her a question or check out her website, drjoy.com. 48 past the hour now on Good Day.
Today on App Check, tea. This $2 app is a must-have for tea drinkers. No detail has been forgotten. Exceeds expectations.
Bravo.
Tea. It's a hit. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, do women prefer younger men or older men? Well, in this pop culture day and age, you tend to hear a lot about older women and younger men, even television shows about cougars. But when it comes to marriage, do women prefer younger men or older men? Here's the social science of it. The answer, women prefer older men, but not by too much, only 3.4 years older. But what about men? When it comes to age, do men prefer older or younger women? The answer here, opposite what women want, is younger, but not by much, only 2.7 years younger than they are. What's the cheap psychological trick? Men want younger, women want older, but both want love and companionship. And you know what, guys? That's just plain out timeless. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Lovers, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
If you haven't watched this show, you've certainly heard of it. It's broken a number of network records.
The show is Duck Dynasty, and Phil Robertson says he can't figure out why people are so attracted to his family.
But the attraction began back in the 1980s. Phil was looking for an outlet for his duck products, so he produced fun videos that became popular among the community of hunters.
Branding expert Liz Goodgold says the family's humor, quotable sound bites, and catchphrases make it memorable and easy to share among fans.
What unique characteristics do you have? Use them to create your own dynasty. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This former All-Star is a two-time Gold Glove winner and the 1994 National League Rookie of the Year. In 1997, he became the first Dodger to join the 30-30 club, repeating the feat in 1999.
Oh, man, turning on this one, hits it high and deep. It's gone!
So where is Raul Mondesi now? Since retiring from baseball in 2005, Raul has returned to his home in the Dominican Republic, where he's taking a swing at politics. In May of 2006, Raul was elected to a seat in the Chamber of Deputies for the Dominican Liberation Party. And in May of 2010, he was elected mayor of his hometown, San Cristobal.
La clase política no cambia. Ahora nos toca el caso del síndico PRDista de San Cristobal, Raul Mondesi.
Raul Mondesi, a true hometown hero. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
51 past the hour, and Doug Steffens, Good Day.